Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Playwright Bess Wohl is making her Broadway debut with Grand Horizons, a co-commission from the Williamstown Theater Festival and Second Stage Theater. The show is now in previews at the Hayes Theater in New York City and officially opens Thursday, January 23rd. Wohl's other plays include Small Mouth Sounds, Make Believe, Continuity, American Hero, Barcelona, Touched, and Pretty Filthy. She's an associate artist with the New York-based investigative theater troupe The Civilians, and her plays have been produced at theater companies all around the country. She's the recipient of the 2015 Sam Norkin Special Drama Desk Award for establishing herself as an important voice in New York theater, and the John Gassner Outer Critics Circle Award. She's a McDowell Fellow and an alumna of the Ars Nova Play Group. Grand Horizons is directed by Lee Silverman and stars Jane Alexander and James Cromwell as a couple navigating divorce after being married for 50 years. Ben McKenzie and Michael Urie play their adult sons. The other actors in the cast are Priscilla Lopez, Malik Pancholi, and Ashley Park. Bess Wohl joins us now. Bess, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me where the seeds of the idea for the play Grand Horizons came from. Where did you come up with this story?
Any play that I write has a couple different sources of inspiration. So I would say the spark for this was I noticed in my friend group that several friends of mine had parents who were getting divorced pretty late in life, you know, mid 70s, 80. And a few of my very close friends were going through this. And I listened to their stories and I became sort of interested in what it meant to get a divorce at that stage of life. Mm-hmm. And then I started sort of digging around about it. And I found that there was really a larger cultural phenomenon happening called gray divorce. It even has a name. And I started visiting retirement communities, talking to people. And I found that this idea of when is it too late to start over? What does it mean to get divorced at the end of, or close to the end of your life was really fascinating to me. And then at the same time, I was newly married. So I think I was thinking about sort of love and marriage in a sort of larger way and thinking about the choices that we make and how love can sustain itself over time.
You said that you started visiting retirement communities. How do you, as a playwright, go about setting that up?
I had luckily a few different theaters and friends who worked at theaters who were sort of supportive and interested, and they made introductions for me. So a friend of mine at a theater outside of Philadelphia actually said, I like this idea for a play. Sure, I'll take you to some retirement communities. And the play itself is set in Pennsylvania, and I think that's part of the reason, because I visited a bunch of senior communities in that area.
I imagine, like any phenomenon that earns a title, like you've said, gray divorce, that it sounds like an umbrella under which it all falls, and it is, but the individual experiences must still be incredibly unique.
They are. There's, such a wide range of why people want to get divorced at this time, and also the range of ways that it impacts the family. And I would say that my play is as much about the adult children going through their parents talking about splitting up as it is about the parents. You know, it's really about what happens when you step out of the expected role that your family has prescribed for you and how that sort of shakes the foundation of everybody's role in the family. So once the parents stop, quote unquote, acting like parents, the children spin out in different ways as well. And suddenly everyone's forced to re-examine how they function in the family.
How did you decide to have the father character want to be a stand-up comic?
Well, that actually came from a breakfast I had with our director, Lee Silverman, who I've worked with a bunch of times and is an incredible director.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
She's brilliant. And she directed my very first play in New York, American Hero, which was about 6 years ago. So going to Broadway with her now is really an incredible full circle moment. Mm-hmm. I had friends whose parents were getting divorced, and I had breakfast with her. And I said, you know, Lee, I'm thinking about writing a play about people getting divorced at around age 80 and sort of how that affects the family and asking these questions about love and commitment and time. And Lee got this look on her face, and I said, what? And she said, my grandparents got divorced, or asked, you know, started the process of getting divorced the day after their 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And she said, you know, I've always wanted to explore this idea. And her grandfather had decided that he wanted to be a stand-up comedian. So we started talking about her grandfather, and that idea worked its way into the play. And really, it was so much of that conversation with Lee was what really pushed me to write the play, because I knew I wanted to collaborate with her again. And she was so on board with the idea and so excited about it. So a lot of her family story found its way into the play. And actually, there's a sort of little picture of her grandparents on stage that nobody can see but the actors. But it's a little sort of reminder to us of where the play came from.
How long have you been working on the play?
I would say I've been working on it for about 3.5 years.
I can't imagine that there's any way you would know at any point until you hear that it's going to happen that it will be the first of your plays to go to Broadway.
Yeah, that is really surreal. I had no idea. And we're rehearsing and doing performances in the Broadway theater right now, and it still feels kind of unreal to me. I knew that, I had a co-commission from Williamstown Theater Festival and Second Stage in New York.
Right.
And the idea of the commission was to bring a play to Broadway. So that was sort of the stated intent, but I never believed that would happen. But, you know, part of the mission of both Mandy Greenfield and Carol Rothman, who run respectively Williamstown and Second Stage, is to put more new American plays on Broadway, and especially plays by women.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that was part of the idea of the commission. You know, women are, as you know, woefully underrepresented on Broadway. I think someone told me recently that my play is the only original new play
by a living female playwright this season. Yeah,
yes,
I saw that too.
Which I kind of couldn't believe. So, that was sort of the idea of the commission, was to counteract that somehow, or to sort of speak to that, or to support women going to Broadway. So I always knew that was part of the idea. But of course, I never believed that it would actually happen.
Well, congratulations. It's a big deal. The play started previews in New York City right before the winter holidays, and it's a family story fraught with familial conflict. Everybody's trying to figure out what's happening, what's going on. How was it landing with audiences around the holidays?
Well, it's funny because we didn't really think about it when we got that slot. And then when we had our first audiences come, it really occurred to us that, oh, maybe this is the perfect play to do over the holidays, because everyone is sort of escaping their own family dramas, coming to the theater and sort of reveling in the fact that here's a family with, you know, with all of their own issues, and sort of enjoying watching the sort of funhouse mirror of this family going through their own trials and tribulations. So I do think over the holidays, it felt like we had a lot of audiences who were sort of enjoying the release of watching a family that was not their own. And it led to some really fun houses and some really fun performances.
Once you knew that it would be about a couple celebrating their 50th anniversary and then deciding to separate, how did you fill in the rest of the family and the rest of the characters?
I thought a lot about what the adult children might be facing in their own lives and going through, and how the question of divorce could resonate with them personally. So the family has two sons, and that was sort of just intuitive for me. I wrote a play that was done in New York earlier this season that had two sisters. So mm-hmm. I think I was sort of interested in exploring two brothers, and I think also I was sort of interested in the dynamic of only men in the family except for the mother character, and mm-hmm. sort of what kind of a position that would put her in. And then one of the sons has a very pregnant wife. And I think that came partly from the fact that I was pregnant during part of the writing of the play. And also, looking at those moments in life when it's too late to turn back, someone might think, or, you know, when your commitment gets sort of reestablished or reinforced. So I think, you know, the son who is about to have a baby is looking at his parents' divorce and thinking, oh, wow, you know, here I am at this moment where I'm slightly terrified of the level of commitment I've made. And what if I end up, 50 years down the line, realizing that it was the wrong thing or feeling that it was the wrong thing. So to me, the pregnancy spoke to just the question of commitment. And then the other son is sort of dealing with a feeling of loneliness and abandonment by his parents, feeling like his parents are really still his primary family since he's not in a relationship, and feeling rocked by the loss of the stability that he has always counted on.
You have a phenomenal cast on Broadway. You had an outstanding cast at Williamstown. What is it like when it switches over like that? I mean, I know it wasn't back to back, but watching the characters you've written be represented, be embodied, be performed by different wonderful actors.
It's fascinating because as a playwright, I think every time I'm in production, I realize that the words on the page are actually such a small part of the experience that the audience has when they come to the theater. And so much of it is the choices made by the actors and the director and the design. And so having different actors just changes everything. And I've been lucky enough at both theaters to have just such beautiful, brave, truthful people embodying these roles. And it's been fascinating to watch different elements of the character rise to the surface, depending on who's embodying them, and then sort of understand how the story shifts because of that, and step in sometimes with the text to support that or manage that in some way. And then it's also fascinating, you know, three of our actors are the same as at Williamstown, and it's been really interesting to watch them go deeper with their roles and also have the ability to reimagine their character based on what's around them and what's being asked of them in this new production. So in a way, I would say everyone is very different, even the people who've continued with the play.
You mentioned the actors being a huge part of the experience for the audience and also the design, you said. And I wanted to ask you about the setting, specifically how you describe it and how that gets translated. The scenic designer is Clint Ramos. How you work with him and Lee to make it look how you imagined it, or if it doesn't get to quite look the way you imagined it because they have a different idea that you ultimately think is better.
It's such a collaboration. It's true. We talked a lot about what is this place, Grand Horizons, where our characters have found themselves. And, you know, obviously it's an independent living community that's sort of part of a cluster of different independent living and assisted living communities. And a lot of the conversation centered around, you know, is it a nice place? Is it a grim place? Is it a little bit of both? Is it, you know, what are we trying to communicate with this place? So we ended up having this idea of the box, like that everyone is sort of placed into a box in these communities and also in the family, you know, that your role is a box, and that Bill and Nancy, the married couple, long, long married couple in this play, are trying to break out of their box. So Clint really tried to think about the box in all of his design. And the play starts when you come in on the show curtain is a projection of these houses that's just sort of an endless row of these identical houses. And, you know, on stage, there are sort of lots of different, if you look, sort of little boxes within the box of this house. And we were really thinking about how we get out of the container of ourselves to reach each other, and reflecting that in the scenic design and in every element of the production.
We've brushed up on it a few times, but I would like you to talk a little bit more about working with Lee Silverman, who's your director. You've worked with her before. She's brilliant. Tell me how you work together, how it sort of goes. Take us into a rehearsal.
Well, we're lucky because Lee and I are really friends and collaborators. So because we've worked together on multiple occasions, we have sort of a shorthand in terms of the back and forth. I would say a lot of it is me sort of throwing a bunch of unformed ideas and notions and feelings at Lee and her absorbing them and sort of organizing them and putting a more processed and thoughtful understanding to them so that we can either translate them into what you see on stage or decide that they're not helpful. So she's incredible at really, you know, checking the artistic impulses against what really belongs in the story of the play. She'll say, you know, no, that's not helpful, or yes, that feels right, or I don't understand what that means. Can you articulate it more clearly? She's constantly pushing me to more clearly articulate what an idea means. I operate very much from sort of intuition and feeling, and I think Lee has a beautiful intuition and a ton of feelings, but she is also really in touch with the sort of rigorous logic piece of this and managing, you know, if we do that here, how is that going to affect, you know, three scenes later and seeing the full picture. So she's able to take what I give her and sort of filter it through a more sort of coherent and logical filter that keeps the play from going off the rails in any particular direction.
That sounds like we all need Ali Silverman.
We do.
For everything.
I need her in all parts of my life. I, she doesn't know this yet, but I'm taking her home with me after this process is over.
The first scene of the play is a short scene that is basically almost entirely without dialogue. It's kind of like a dance. The stage directions are beautifully written. What was it like writing that? How did you know what you wanted for it? And what was it like to see it staged?
That scene really puts a lot of burden on the director because it is sort of an idea of a long married couple going through a ballet of their nightly dinner. And Lee and I talked about it as a sort of choreographed avoidance. And there's these sort of little moments that pop where the couple's in sync in sort of surprising ways and little moments where they're at odds. And it's a lot of storytelling in silence, which I'm always really interested in. So I really wrote it as a challenge to directors and actors. And I really love to do that in my plays, you know, create these things that feel like they ask a lot of the collaborators, because I find that that excites people, you know, giving them that feeling of authorship and giving them a challenge actually creates a sense of everyone rising to meet each other. So that was the intent of that scene. It's been really fun to watch it performed, and we tried it in a lot of different ways, and we're still investigating it, even though we freeze the show in 4 days. We're still talking about what do you want to learn about our two lead characters in that silence. And you can really feel the audience watching very closely and hungry for detail and information about these people that they're going to be following for the next 2 hours.
Bess Wohl's Grand Horizons is in previews at the Hayes Theater in New York City. It opens officially on January 23rd. Bess, it's wonderful to speak with you. Congratulations again. And thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. It's really fun to talk to you.
Once again, Bess Wohl's Grand Horizons, a co-commission from the Williamstown Theater Festival and Second Stage Theater, is now in previews at the Hayes Theater in New York City. It opens on Thursday, January 23rd. 2st.com for showtime and ticket information. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.